broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. This is Kyle Brustin Northman, KBN, on ESPN Wisconsin. Here's Kyle Wallace, Ben Brust, and Brad Northman.
Brewers are eliminated. The Badgers got shut out.
No. You got to say they've got shut out again.
Again.
First time in back-to-back games since the 70s.
They haven't scored a touchdown in like 11 quarters.
That is crazy.
First time at home since the 60s.
I don't think they crossed the 50 until the final drive.
Don't get me started on the final drive.
Let's get him started.
That was the most embarrassing effort that I've seen. Not so much from the players, but from a coach. When you talk about pride, right? When you talk about playing for the W, Luke Fickell doesn't understand what the hell that means to play for the W. Luke Fickell doesn't understand the foundation of having some sense of pride. The fact that the Wisconsin Badgers in that game, they got the football with 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. They haven't scored a point in weeks now. And the fact that they are down 34-0 in that game, you would think, you see teams do it all the time, right? We've seen it against people, garbage time touchdowns. You try to drive down the field to get some type of garbage time touchdown. Nope, not Luke Fickell. Luke Fickell sees 5 minutes left on the clock, and he's saying, boy, how can we get out here the soonest? Let's just run the ball, 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 run the ball. Maybe a little pass. Run the ball. All he did was run out the clock. I've never seen a football program have so lack of pride to run the football, to run the clock out. That's what losers do. When you are playing a team that's better than you, you're getting blown out, what do? Let's just get out of here so our guys don't get injured. Nope. Wisconsin, we're just the losers. We're the team that you're just trying to get up out of here so you don't get injured. Meanwhile, Ohio State is still beating up on us. We just trying to, try to run out the clock to get out of here. Uninspiring.
When's my press conference? How quickly can I get to my car?
Yeah. I don't know about y'all, but I was sitting there. I wasn't even mad during the game.
I don't know how you were watching the game at that point.
Well,
that's remarkable, fan.
Did you make it through it?
Hell no.
Brad, did you make it through it?
I couldn't.
Kyle?
I made it
clearly.
Through.
I made it through too.
I watched the entire
game. You watched the whole game?
I watched the whole game, yeah.
Yeah,
do you guys enjoy pain?
No.
So here's the thing.
What are you going to learn?
No, it's not that, guys. It's not that. It's number one, I feel like I have a responsibility to watch the backup punter call his own shot and fake a punt.
Yeah!
I think, you know, watching Sean West decide, hey, I'm probably not going to play here much longer. I might as well just run it. That was awesome.
The stones on that, man.
Seeing the depressed visual that was jump around, I felt like I had a responsibility to take that in because, frankly, Wisconsin football has never been this low in my entire lifetime. Period. Mm-hmm. End of sentence. So, I enjoy
pain? Do you watch
pain?
Luke Fickell's press conferences too?
No, I don't. I didn't. I didn't
like
go
Matt
that far.
LaFleur's to go to bed.
All he's gonna sit there and say in their press conference, you know, we've never been here before, and I don't, you know,
I don't know how we're gonna get out of it. But yeah. Those guys in that locker room, man, anyway. But so to answer your question, no, I don't enjoy pain. However, I'm just disassociated at this point. I don't care. I think it's kind of funny, to be honest with you.
It is comical.
It's a little bit comedic.
It's comical. Who I was
I'm
with?
Not there.
I was with somebody this weekend who's a Minnesota Golden
Gopher.
I get it.
I'm not going to blame anybody that didn't find the comedy.
You two are both alums of the school. You guys both went to UW-Madison. I didn't. I went to Stevens Point. I literally lived a horrible football team all 4 years I was in college, so. Now you guys know how I feel on a much different level.
Don't you put yourself in it. Listen, I grew up loving these Wisconsin. When I say I love Wisconsin Badgers, there's one football program in it was one sport. Me and my brother, we both love sports. There's one thing we used to bond over. We used to bond over looking at who's coming to Wisconsin, getting recruited to Wisconsin. When our little cousin was going to Wisconsin, we damn near cried. We was like, oh my gosh, look at the article about him. So seeing this football program get to the point where there's 5:35 left in the fourth quarter and they're down 34-0 and they run the ball 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times. They run the ball 8
times. Is this the LeBron speech?
It's not. It's the loser speech. They ran the ball 8 times and ran the clock down to 41 seconds left. 41 seconds left. That is a team that's just trying to get up out of there. Embarrassing. They didn't even try to score.
You're making it worse.
No, this is this.
I understand.
It is.
If I was Mac, I would have been waiting. I would have been waiting. Bumps to press conference. What was that?
Waiting for him at the
wait. I would have waiting for him at the door.
The locker room.
What's going on? So we not even trying no more? We just gonna run the ball out? We trying to run the clock out? We not trying to score? What's going on?
This is the thing. This program's on life support.
We could even do this about the first half.
Yeah.
They did the same thing. I know Ohio State hasn't given up a touchdown or whatever, and like their defense is incredible.
Whole first half, no
what
touchdown.
The hell do you have to lose?
Yeah.
You're going to lose anyway.
Run
you're
for
not,
three.
You weren't going to beat Ohio State.
They thought Kay was going to break one.
Like, what do you... You're going to run the clock out at the end of the first half because you think
yeah,
it's going to help give you a tighter game and keep you in the game? Are you outside your damn mind? You know you're not going to win this game.
That's true.
So, I mean, at this point, just throw it. They
do
pick
everything.
It off. It's no
well,
different than
wanted,
to
well,
see
he wanted to
game.
Keep it close. It was 17-0 at halftime. That we wanted to keep it
well,
close.
That's not going
to
change anything.
And honestly, too, when the punter took off for the fake punt, I was like, okay, a little bit of fireworks. Turns out the dude just did it on his own.
Yeah,
it was the play call.
You thought Luke Fickell called that?
I did.
No, he saw that everybody turned their back. And then, I mean, he did a good job of saying, whoop, and got the first down. Because I'm sure if he didn't get it, Luke Fickell would have said, what are you doing?
Well, he'd been like, what are you doing? It's okay. Go sit down.
But that's it. But I just want y'all to understand how far this program has fallen from when we, you know, got a new
what
coach.
What are you doing
we,
to us right now?
In 2023, the Wisconsin Badgers going into the fourth quarter were down 17-10 at home against Ohio State. They were down 17-10, 7 points. They actually had a chance to win that football game. They were close in that game. Might have been up in that game at some point. No, they weren't. But they were close in that game. We went from losing 24-10 to a top 10 team in Ohio State to getting boat raced by Iowa.
What's sad is, too, you only get 12 Wisconsin games. You're the whole year, right? You get 12 Saturdays, and those used to be some of the best days of the whole year. You wake up on Saturday morning, you got college game day. Maybe you tune into Wisconsin College Game Day to get you ready for it, or you hear my voice. But now, I dread Saturdays. I don't even want to turn it on. I know how it's going to end. It's going to ruin my day. The only thing I have going for me is that now I expect losses. I expect losses. So, you know, it's hard to get heartbroken when your expectations are that low.
Yeah, the Badgers were tied in that 2023 game 10-10 in the third quarter.
This was an interesting point as well. The Fickell era is one of those things where we don't even know how good he is at situational coaching because we've never been in an important or tight game since he became the coach.
Mm.
That was a text I got from a fellow alum. The only thing I can think of is maybe Oregon. Like, it was kind of close.
Yeah.
Last year. But importantly,
Penn State was close, too.
And the other part to, like, pinpoint the problem.
Is how do you do that and then get blown out by Nebraska, Iowa, Minnesota?
Yeah. So clearly there's a culture issue. But we don't know. The recruiting isn't very good. The development isn't very good. The in-game coaching isn't very good. Like, it's all bad. You can't even pinpoint a problem. It's not like he's like, well, at least they're top 20 in recruiting. Everything that you can measure with this program is trash.
Let's go to the Carbless Talk and Text Line. Diana McGuanago, you're on with Kyle Brust and Ortman. Dirty D.
What?
Hey, Dirty
Hold
D.
Hold on for 1 minute.
Okay, no, okay. That don't work.
A minute? This is live radio.
When you say 1 minute, do you mean 5 seconds or do you mean 60 seconds, Dirty D? No, what we talking?
I just hold on one second.
Put her on hold, Joe.
All right, Diana.
Because it's Dirty D.
1 minute went from 1 minute to 1 second.
Give this to Dirty D. This amount of
she asked, five.
Okay.
Yeah, my girl's there.
Sorry.
We good. What you got? What you talking about, Dirty D?
Yeah. First of all, when it comes to the Badgers, they should just fire them all. And I got a question for you. Who do you think is gonna go? Is it going to be Green Bay go to the Super Bowl or are the Brewers going to hit the World Series?
Oh.
What happens first? Classic
like
radio
that.
Segment.
But I like
Classic.
That. Good job.
That
good
was
job.
Worth the wait. It was worth the wait.
It was. KBN Nation.
Tune in to June 1st, 2026 for the answer to that question.
Yeah, for real, though.
Right in the dead of summer.
Well, technically, I guess the Packers would be the team now.
No.
Huh?
Jason Wilde's joining us next, but first... I'm going to tell you about Palermo's, not just because it's Victory Monday, because they have delicious pizzas, and I had some people over, and you know what I was doing. We had an urban pie, but of course, you got to have the thin and crispy tavern style and an OG screaming. Literally, like, it's a smorgasbord of the best pizzas that you can get made by Palermo's. And for me, we call it Hog Night. Hog Night! On Friday, we get the Boss Hog ready to go. and it is absolutely amazing. It is. Anyone who comes over to the Brust household on Frozen Pizza Friday will experience the Boss Hog, and then they get that.
Hog Friday!
Hog Friday!
Whole lot of meats, baby.
Hog Friday!
I bet that's catching on at the Brust household.
If you come over, you know Boss Hog is in the oven.
Do you make people go,
I'm not disagreeing with you on that, but does your wife refer to it as Hog Friday?
I do. Boss Hog, Urban Pie.
Hog Friday!
Hog Friday. Taste what all that screaming is about. And find your screaming pleasure in your local grocer's freezer. Jason will be next.
Hog Friday.
This is Kyle Brust and Nortman.
We were going to extend more invites, but I just jumped the gun for some reason at the meeting because I thought I was being like funny and personable, and I just don't know how to read the room. I was like, oh, this guy who doesn't know me is going to think it's hilarious that I'm with Josh and I'm saying, hey, Josh, you didn't get the first round invite. Suck it.
How... In what world would that person find that funny, though?
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Stevie chimes in on the Carbless Talk and text line. My dad is 96. We've enjoyed games on Saturdays for years together. The fact that he is devastated by the state of the program breaks my heart. That we can't enjoy this together is devastating.
Man.
Dang.
Come on now.
Stevie tugging on the heartstrings there.
Yeah.
Which Stevie is this? Is Stevie sports car?
Send that to Chris McIntosh, Stevie.
I want to call. Yeah. Like Murphy Takes Five back in the day. We need a
Hey, is Policy's Perspective live?
Is that a thing?
Yes.
It's called Policy's Perspective?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
The Packers are so punny.
They announced he would be doing it, but I haven't seen one yet.
Have you sent any questions?
Well, I'm glad.
I did. Yes, I sent one to the first. Well, I sent one in September, so I don't know if I got to look if it happened yet.
I wouldn't be mad if Ed Policy had better things to do than answer questions to fans.
Yeah, it's on the website. Policy's Perspective. Looking for the president's perspective on all things Packers. The first Saturday of every month, check out Policy's Perspective, where Ed Policy will write about a topic of interest to Packers fans in the organization, and then answer fans' questions. You can email questions to policiesperspective@packers.com.
There's too many P's in that. There was a lot of policies, perspective, Packers.
Is there? Yeah, it's too much.
I don't think he's done his first one yet.
But he said every first Saturday? Okay, it's been a couple Saturdays.
Yeah, a few months.
That's good, you said. Yeah. He's
Policy's Perspective, he wants to win championships. Like, who cares what I got to say? If we all win a championship title, I just got to say.
Also, just have a PR person write it. As if he's Policy.
Ah, that's disingenuous. That's not real Green Bay folksy, man.
Do you think Mark Murphy sat and wrote out each and every one?
Without Mark Murphy, a doubt.
Yes. Are you kidding me? You can hear the Mark Murphy tone in his writing.
Oh, here it is. Grab a Manhattan. Let's talk bye week.
Wow.
Whoa. Look at that. Grab a Manhattan, huh? You little bougie.
I wondered how much personality was going to seep through.
He would have said, if he wants to be related, let's grab an old fashioned, you know?
Brandy old fashioned.
I like it. I mean, I like it.
Nothing Mark Murphy-esque in there?
I'm sure it's very buttoned up.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah. Not like
Okay, so the line you just said about a PR person might just write it.
Oh, no. Ed, you know what?
It's written just like Murphy.
Oh,
no. Mark Murphy wasn't responding.
Run it through AI. See if there's similarities.
Thanks for your question, Ross.
Oh.
There was a lot of conversation about Lions fans at our home opener. However, our fans truly showed up in extraordinary form on Thursday night against the Commanders.
Oh, my goodness.
Maybe Mark.
Yikes.
Why do they even do these?
So disingenuous.
It's just a political answer.
Stop it.
Seriously.
They're the president of the Packers, man. They're talking to the public. They're talking to the owners.
Are you gleaning anything
you really
of value?
You felt the connection to Ed Policy that one?
I didn't know he already has two of them out. I got to go back and read them tonight. I love these things. I've talked about it before. Remember how heartbroken I was when Murphy's Take Five was coming to an end? My heart was shattered. He didn't answer my question, though, so I'm mad at Ed Policy right now.
How many questions have you submitted?
Just one. Because I didn't know he released a newsletter, but we're coming up on the end of the month, so I got to get another one ready.
If you could ask Ed Policy one question, what would you ask him?
Are you going to
Policy's perspective?
In your perspective, is your cornerback room ass or is it just bad?
I don't know if they're going to answer that one, Kyle.
That's a good question.
They might say,
"He said, thank you, Kyle."
Hey, Kyle, we appreciate your passion and your fandom of the Green Bay Packers. We believe that the guy we signed, Nate Hobbs, like Matt LaFleur just said in his press conference, we'll rebound from this.
I wonder what his contract is.
3% of snaps Carrington Valentine played, while Nate Hobbs was just the same guy that we saw last week.
It makes no sense. Valentine is actually pretty darn solid.
Valentine plays on the outside. Nate Hobbs was a slot corner, and now they got him playing on the outside. Like it hasn't been good. Also, the only good thing that Nate Hobbs did was finally almost like, no, this sounds bad. He was hurting his own team in training camp.
Yes.
Kept hitting guys hard. Yeah. They had to tone it down. Jacoby Brissett was a runner. He laid out Jacoby Brissett. He was fine, but it was a good clean hit on a runner.
Yeah, he needed a good clean hit when Trey McBride was trying to get in the end zone for a touchdown. And he missed the tackle and whiffed.
It's like the Madden hit stick. Whew. If you miss it, boy, you get nothing, but you get like toroed with like a bullfighter.
So we're stuck in this con. He's going to be back next year.
It's front loaded. It was very front heavy.
It looks like it's a team option year three. So
yeah, it's 2 years.
Classic Packers.
You know. All right, Nate. Listen,
I will say
come on.
Come on. I mean, what else I'm gonna say? Come on, because right now it's not looking pretty. There's a potential out. Sorry, Brad.
Oh, you're good.
Dead cap of $12 million, but we can get out of it.
Oh no, that's a lot.
Yeah, $12 million is quite a bit.
$12 million for a second or third corner. To just have that out of the books?
I guess just pay him $20-27 and get out of it after that.
Trading for Micah Parsons truly cures all ills from Brian Gutekunst. But his home run of Josh Jacobs, Xavier McKinney, not necessarily followed up last free agency.
Banks seems to be getting healthy and finding the groove.
Banks is okay, but he's supposed to be a run blocker. We can't run block for anything. The run game is so stagnant.
Josh Jacobs got going a little bit yesterday.
You're doing the thing right. Okay.
No, not consistently.
The run game was not that.
Only because Josh Jacobs is a dog.
The flow just seemed a little inconsistent yesterday overall. Disjointed offense with the Green Bay Packers.
Man, you are in full green and gold.
I'm not in green and gold glass. I'm just saying, yesterday was very disjointed in the first half. I think once the Green Bay Packers decide they want to establish the run game a little bit more, we'll be okay.
I think they've been trying to do that, but they haven't been able to, which is dumbfounding.
And then yesterday as well, I mean, you were trying to save Jacobs a little bit. As they said, he was on a pitch count in the first half. So, I mean, I thought the offensive line was fantastic last week. I thought this week they did good. I feel like Jordan Love wasn't running for his life, and his legs. Boy. Jordan Love, let me tell you, Ben, we talked about it last offseason. If Jordan Love was going to use those legs, he's going to be so much better. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. It makes a big difference.
I didn't know he could use the legs like that, though.
And he is smart. I mean, only one time last year did he put his shoulder down or whatever. He gets that slide in there pretty casual, pretty good. He does, and then he gets up and does that first down. Kind of took that from, not the brush me off, but that first down, kind of like Aaron Jones style. Kind of like that.
Yeah, it's been critical this year. So, I mean, Jordan, I'm telling you, I can't speak enough about it. I am falling in love again.
I'm Josh DiMaggio. Do you have two minutes? Do you mind stepping up to the microphone?
He said right now.
Right there. I'd like to provide you Kyle Wallace, who is saying that he's very, instead of focusing on the fact that Matt LaFleur went for it because of Jordan Love's face.
Yeah.
He's saying he is proud of Jordan Love because he convinced Matt LaFleur to go for it.
And that's the biggest takeaway.
About damn time Jordan Love spoke up and said, we're going for it.
He didn't speak up.
I don't know if he spoke up more than made a face, as Matt LaFleur described it, Kyle, I like what you're driving at here.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're maybe putting a potentially positive spin on something that doesn't deserve as much positivity as you're giving it. If I were to actually guess what happened, I would bet the people in Matt's ear talked to him and said, hey, this is probably a bad decision to kick here, and we should be going for it, which then thus forced them into a field goal and then putting a play out there.
Whoever those people are speaking into his ear, they should be speaking more often.
No, I legitimately think that Jordan Love's face. Sometimes you got to say something. Somebody told me
that's
my face says it all.
Sometimes, man. Listen, it's a no-brainer decision.
It was a 47-yard field goal. You make and a guy who just kicked a 61-yarder. Now I would have been uncomfortable with it. Wait a minute. This is not Toady. This is me being honest. You kicked a 47-yard field goal. You just saw a guy hit a 61-yard field goal. And trust me, this kid. I mean, Matt LaFleur had to watch a whole bunch of bad kickers for multiple seasons. And so then he looks at him, hit a 61-yard field goal. It's like, all right, well, he makes this 47-yarder. I'll put my defense out there with Rashawn Gary and Michael Parsons. They get us the ball back, and then we go down there and we either win the football game with a touchdown or a field goal.
Let me direct your attention to my personal Twitter account at Josh_DiMaggio, where I shared this exact sequence and the win percentage if you go for it on fourth down and get it versus kicking the field goal. You win the game 65% of the time if you convert the field goal. I mean, convert the first down on fourth.
No,
if you kick the field goal, it's only 47%. What that should tell you is it's a non-decision.
But if you,
it's a snap react. Yes.
No. If they,
you look at the quarterback's face, and he'll tell you based off the face.
Again,
y'all
want to nitpick? Be mad at Matt LaFleur?
It's a pretty critical moment.
It's a critical moment. They tie the game up, and they get the ball back, and they win. Then what are we gonna be? Oh well, they kicked the field goal, and they couldn't. No,
it's still bad process.
And if you don't get it fourth and two, they go down there and score. Then what? Y'all gonna be like, oh well, maybe he should have taken the points. Like, hey, it was. When
what?
If you what
they just need to get in the field goal to win.
No, I'm saying if they don't get the fourth and two, then they get the football back.
It's
and they
process
drive.
Over results. You have to put, as a head coach, he makes up his process each game.
Yes. No, if the Green Bay Packers miss that fourth and two, and then they go down there and they either the Arizona Cardinals either run the clock out or they kick a field goal or they score a touchdown, everybody's second guessing whether or not why you did not kick a field goal for 47 yards when the guy just hit a 61 yarder and he's been playing well for you. Everybody would be second guessing why he did not kick a field goal if they lost.
You still lost.
No, what are you talking about? They would have lost either way. If they
kicked a field goal, they tied the game, and you just gave us a scenario where Arizona goes down the field and scores. They lost either
Arizona
way.
Arizona had the football at their damn near midfield.
They played to win, not played to tie like they did in Dallas. That's improvement.
No, I'm excited about it, but what I'm saying, if the Green Bay Packers don't get that fourth and two, they drive down, and the Cardinals score a touchdown, and now the game's out of reach, then everybody's complaining. If you make the field goal, you get the ball back, and you win with a field goal, everybody's saying, yeah, we won. So what I'm saying is a lose-lose situation with some of y'all. I stand behind Matt LaFleur, whatever y'all want to say.
Oh, we know you do.
Yeah, it's clear.
I stand
very
behind
clear.
My team is 4-1-1, and everybody asking me how we taste. Okay?
The thing that people would have been mad, you're 100% about that, had the scenario played out where they don't get it on fourth down and end up losing the game. That's fine, but that would have also been wrong. They would have their decision making and their processing would have been wrong. They wouldn't have realized how big of a moment that was and the process that goes into making game winning or game losing decisions. So that would have been your job to say, hey, he should have gone for it on fourth. That would have been my job, that would have been Brad's job, and Ben's. Because that was the right process. We would have to educate the people who were wrong about that.
Yeah, fans care about results. And look, the result that Jordan Love had, that's the thing I care about. The fact that Jordan Love convinced them to go for it on fourth down.
Okay. Is Jason Moley joining us next? Because, Josh, I tried to bring a new perspective in.
No, we're not going to harp on that. We're going to focus on the fact that Jordan Love turned it on.
This is what I'm trying to say.
Can you make the face that Jordan Love gave him if you were to imagine it? Do it into the camera.
That's not enough.
That's the look.
Matt.
Somebody asked me a question in this office yesterday, and they saw my facial reaction before I responded. They started laughing. They said, "Oh," I said, "Oh, that's how it is sometimes."
Jason Mildy joins us next to talk about Jordan Love's facial expression that saved the Packers the game.
This is Kyle Brustin Nortman.
800-990-3776. Say that again.
What a radio pro.
He's so...
Say that again.
nobody
said a word.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
I'm going to enunciate the way I normally would as a nerdy fellow that I am.
Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
You know, you should be confident. You should be feeling yourself.
Holding everybody accountable.
I'm not saying you should be necessarily mad at him, but he bears some responsibility.
Jason Wilde is on Kyle Brustin Nortman.
Yeah, I don't want to do this for 3 more hours either, so we're good then.
Join Jason Wilde next summer and explore the British landscapes in England, Scotland, and Wales. Text travel to 800-990-3776 or visit ESPNMilwaukeeTravel.com for full details.
Tell me now, do you want it? Because he's
dancing. Joining us now, I'm Kyle Brustin Nortman across ESPN Wisconsin, is Jason Wilde. Jason, how's it going?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Sounds like you just got out of Matt LaFleur's press conference, so we appreciate you joining and accommodating our show. Yes, Strofe.
I appreciate you guys.
Because of my sensitivity.
Accommodating me.
We are going to have a scheduling tweak that I'm just going to tell you on the air going forward on Mondays. Jason Woolley will now join us at 3:45 on Mondays.
Okay, sounds good to me, Jason. Is that works for your schedule?
What did you say? Because of your what?
Sensitivity.
Jason called me sensitive.
He swore at me moments ago.
He's very defensive.
No. You need to apologize
to your elders.
He swore at me first. He called me.
He a douche.
That's not a swear. It's a fact.
To your elders. Don't. Hey, Nortman, don't help.
Are you not an elder?
Damn. Well, yeah, the double down.
That's not helpful.
He's old enough to be my father.
He is old enough to be your father.
Is he?
I am roughly the same age as your father.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How about that? One big family here at GKB.
A lot less macho than.
So what'd you learn from LaFleur, Jason?
You douche.
Douche.
That was the Kyle drop.
It's hard to tell from where I'm sitting. I learned. What did I learn? Let me check my notes here. I learned they've got a good problem to have a kicker, and that Brandon McManus is not healthy yet, which I don't think he meant to necessarily slip, but we got one kicker who's healthy and one who's, and they caught himself. So he delivered a very forceful vote of confidence, like he was Chris McIntosh, in support of Nate Hobbs, acknowledging that he did not play well. He admitted that he was surprised as well that the Arizona Cardinals tried to block Micah Parsons one-on-one.
Whew, thank goodness.
Bad mistake.
Yeah, because I asked him if he thought that performance was going to be a cautionary tale for upcoming opponents, and he has seen the last time that he's going to get one-on-one blocking for much of a game, and he acknowledged that he was surprised by that approach too. I will be curious to see how Rodgers' week, air quotes, goes. He told us that that's for us, not for them. And he is right that, most of these guys never played with him. Nixon did, Watson and Dobbs did.
Love, of course.
Elton Jenkins did, Rashawn Gary did, but it's a pretty small number. So I believe, and by the way, as we were walking out, we were just talking about the fact that it's so different. Like it's a lot more like them playing Kenny Clark than it is like them playing Aaron against Brett Favre. Like there's not the level of animosity and, I'm going to shove it up Ted's, attitude that Favre had for that game in 09. And, I was telling the story about Mike McCarthy admitting that how he completely bungled that week. Like he got them to such a fever pitch, and all those guys who just played with him the 2 years before were so intent on beating him that it kind of consumed them, and their performance showed it. And so that I think is a different deal. And then LaFleur and I had a lengthy back and forth about the decision to go for it on fourth down. Because he had said earlier in our conversation, I asked him about Jacobs and his leadership and the fact that he basically had to convince them to let him play and play as much as he did. And he said, we don't win that game without Josh Jacobs. And I was like, I'm not sure you win that game without going for it on fourth down there either. And I asked him how he kind of went through that process. It was great. There were hardly any of us there because a lot of guys are still traveling back from Arizona, so I actually got a fair number of questions in because I'm not good at jumping routes. But he was really interesting. I look forward to Strofe or whichever of our great producers cuts this up, because he had some really interesting stuff that I think is well worth a while. But he kind of was leaning toward going for it on fourth down, and then I don't want to say that he chickened out, but he wasn't certain about it, and he said he wished he would have been more decisive, which is one of the things I like about LaFleur. Like, I know some of us like to spend a lot of time criticizing him, and that's part of the job. But he's always pretty honest about his process. And, he said in retrospect, he shouldn't have needed the look of disdain from Jordan Love or the timeout. He should have just right away popped the call and said, we're going for it. And I thought it was important to talk about that, because if we're being honest about the way yesterday played out, you know, yes, there are a number of reasons why the Packers won, and there's a number of reasons that the Cardinals lost, but you can also argue that each of the head coaches made gutsy fourth down calls, and one worked out and one didn't. And frankly, in real time, I didn't like either one of them.
Really?
With Haversick kicking the weight. Yeah, I again, I'm not as aggressive. And I know Josh DiMaggio had looked at some of the analytics. But I thought, you know, I still think this, I understand how the defense has played intermittently. But I still think that defense against the backup quarterback, I still think they can get a stop if you kick the field goal and tie the game to get the ball back so you can go win it. I might have been wrong. We'll never know. But the one thing I do know is on fourth and a long one, like that was 1.5 for that quarterback sneak. I didn't like Jonathan Gannon's decision. I didn't like his call. Mm-hmm. LaFleur said that he would have done the same thing in Gannon's spot. He might have called a different play, but he would have gone for it too. So I thought, I just think it's, and this is what LaFleur and I were kind of going back and forth on at the end of the presser, which is just that, you know, for everything you do, right, all the hours of film and all the meticulous time you spend putting together your game plan and evaluating players and deciding if you want to make a change, say, at right guard and start Jordan Morgan or whatever it might be, you can do all that stuff, and yet the game might come down to one decision that you make in that moment. And in the instance of yesterday, the decision that Matt LaFleur made paid off, and the decision that Jonathan Gannon made bit him in the butt. And that's why one team is 4-1-1 today, and the other team's 2-5, having lost 5 games by a combined 13 points.
Jason Wilde joining us here on Kyle Bruss-Nortman, and I think we can say he learned a lot from the press conference because that first question was from Strofe. Strofe, that's your fault.
What'd I do?
We didn't even get a chance to ask him any questions. It was great. I was going to ask the same question.
It's a win for me.
I was going to say, what did you learn from the press conference?
So I just say maybe he's more comfortable with me asking the questions. One could make that argument.
Weekly Wilde is on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee for a reason, because you guys have great rapport and you ask great questions. So I don't know why you're trying to do a victory lap.
Except for when he's swearing at me when we're bouncing back.
Brad, are you looking at me? Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, so I was going to ask you about that fourth down that Matt LaFleur called, but it sounds like it was just a moment of indecision. Was it only Jordan Love's face that leaned him to go for it, or were there other factors? Because I would find it hard to believe that you make a coaching decision, and then you look at your quarterback's face and say, you know what, actually, I'm going to go
question.
For it.
No, he had already, I think the look of disdain, as he described it, just pushed him in the direction he was already going.
Okay.
Once he popped the timeout, I think he was going for it anyway. But, you know, and I also think this, and you know, I understand I view these guys and the world in general through a different prism than, say, fans do. And, I mean, I was looking, I got up here, and I was looking at some of my mentions on Twitter, and, like, One guy asking me, hey, please ask Coach LaFraud why he hasn't had his team ready to play. Like, this is, it's just a different deal, right? That's not how I view this job necessarily. But, hey, everybody's got their own thing. But, you know, what I like about him is, and maybe it's to his detriment, you know, I listen to some of these other coaches. Jonathan Gannon, I looked at his press conference and read the transcript. I'm glad I don't cover him, man. He's got no interest, and he's got a team that needs to drum up fan interest, so it's counterproductive for him to be a dink about it, because what happens to their stadium whenever they play a team that travels well? They had a run. Do you guys realize they had to use a
silent count
all game in their own stadium? Like,
go
that's
go, baby.
A
that's
testament
incredible.
To the Packers and such a critique of their fan base. But again, anyway,
is that kind of a critique of Lambeau Field? Because it almost feels louder at other places than it does at Lambeau.
No, I don't know if I feel that way. I mean, you know, you go in there with your Rodgers jersey as
okay.
From
the see,
Jets,
that's not what we're doing.
Get him!
No, no, I'm actually having a real conversation. No. I'm listening to road fans at
get
no. Packers games.
Mute his mic. Let
they
Jason
have more
go.
Energy than the olds at Lambeau Field. It's
not
just
true.
The truth.
Not true. Not Jason. Don't let him do that. He's just all gassed yeah. up this week. He's mad at Matt LaFleur. You know, his old friend Aaron Rodgers is coming back, and so you know.
No,
we're playing
I'm
him.
Sick of watching a football team on Saturday score 0 points. That's what you could point to the frustration.
I can understand
at.
That. Yeah, who was? I saw somebody come back at you.
Jack,
up
that's not even coming
Jack
back.
Jack Citchie. Ooh, Jason. Ah, Jason
what was
Stitchy.
That about?
Jason on social for real. Jason just be scrolling.
The funny thing is, like, choosing me, like, there's like 50 million people you could choose receipts on of everyone being excited about the hire.
No.
You,
got,
me.
You got
me.
Paul Chris fired. Jack Citchie, remember that? That was his boy. He remember that. You got him fired.
Oh, that's got to be it.
It's yeah. fine by
oh,
me.
You, do you know
totally
him?
Yeah, he follows me. I didn't, like, again, he's a badger. Like, I'm not going to like be like, oh, yeah. But I can just be like,
that was
yeah,
so odd. I forgot about that. I saw that last night or this morning.
I screenshot it so I wouldn't forget.
Do quote tweets go in your mentions? Because I didn't see
if
it.
If it's your tweet, yes.
But I didn't see it. Somebody had to send it to me.
Oh, wow. Somebody else sent it to you.
Of course. Because I didn't see it.
Jason saw it. Me too, Jason. I screenshot.
Yeah, I sure did.
Hey, home run higher. Nailed that one, Ben.
Hey, this is again another example of you. Everyone makes decisions, right? Like we just got done talking about with LaFleur. I wanted Jimmy Leonard. Well, first of all, I never wanted Paul Chris to lose his job, but once he did, I wanted Jim Leonard, and maybe they're in the same spot. I have no idea, but I just. It was funny that Jack Citchie dug that up. It was just I found that I appreciated the effort that Jack Citchie put in to locate that and then reshare it many years later. That's all.
I'll be going through Jason J. Wilde on Twitter, digging some stuff up tonight on the couch. Jason, we appreciate the time.
Oh.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
You too. Jason
hey, Ben,
was on fire.
Update?
Update what?
Yeah, so you tweeted on November 27th, 2022.
You guys know I'm bold
Chris McIntosh means business. not easy to go against status quo at Wisconsin. This is this takes cojones, I will say. And I think it's a home run. And Zach Citchie just said, update.
Not good, Jack. Not good, Jack. Not good. The Titanic has hit the iceberg, as I've mentioned. Victory Monday is brought to you by Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza.
Does it feel that way?
With delicious brands like Palermo's Connie's Urban Pie and Screamin' Sicilian, Palermo's has your game day covered. Find Palermo's in your local grocer's freezer. I guess what I don't get is, like, you think I'm happy about it too, Jack? Huh, Jack? You think I'm update? Yeah, you think I'm happy about it? You think anyone's happy about it? Nobody is. It sucks. We suck. 0 points in two straight games. Losing to Maryland, it started it all. Update. Next.
This is Kyle Brosten Nortman.
Do you think?
Nope.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
The Princeton Club for a better tomorrow. You gotta have a strong body, a strong mind, and help provide a strong community. So get a tour. Your no goal is too big or too small. You got the Madison area locations, of course, New Berlin as well. Check out the Princeton Club for a better tomorrow. Ryan Racine, you've been on hold. You got 30 seconds. Sorry to cut you short and keep you waiting.
No, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to quickly mention yesterday, you know, we had two timeouts when we went for it in the fourth quarter. I just think calling that timeout, I don't care if we go for it or not, but at least if we're going to go for it, don't bring that timeout, because now if we give up the ball, we don't have any timeouts really other than the one and the two-minute warning. So that was just my take on that.
Well, thank you for the call, Ryan, and I believe it was under 2 minutes, so you didn't have the two-minute warning.
I think it was over the two
well,
minutes.
Well, then I would make the argument that it's okay.
It points toward being decisive.
Yes.
Ben Bruss, Kyle Wallace, Brad Nortman with you on 94.5 ESPN. In 2 minutes, don't go anywhere.